This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know what's great is, I think the suit was third on the J-Lo thing. He was 9-1. And closing, I might add. What? Considered to be a local sex symbol, why not? This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Summer. Go to purdyinsurance.com, auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They have the ability to take care of all your insurance needs, save you money in the process. You know, insurance rates have been going up. These people find ways to save you money and make sure you're fully insured. Pros, customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. With that, we bring in the outstanding Neil Coulong. Sir, great to have you with us.
As always, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so people were saying that when Russell Wilson left the game the other day, that George Pickens also left the game. That's the tip-off. He's the starter. Does it appear that nobody won the thing and they're just going to have a starter?
One might argue that that was their decision back when they signed Wilson and traded for Fields. I find it interesting that the genesis of Kenny Pickett being traded was the idea that Russell Wilson was the starter. I don't see how Pickett's departure, which is what led to Fields being acquired in the first place, I don't see how there was a competition that was ever formed in that, short of the fact that Wilson missed a large chunk of training camp with injury. But to say that's a competition and to announce it as if there was some type of decision, just it kind of seems more like we'll play along with the crowd that's been begging us to make this a quarterback competition back since camp started in late July. I don't think it was their intention to do anything other than start Russell Wilson. I think that the spirit of what you're saying is that the right decision is, was there a decision to be made? Does it really matter? I'm not sure. I don't know. I saw both quarterbacks struggle in very similar fashions to the last couple quarterbacks the Steelers have had. I think there are a lot of reasons to be concerned. One being, as was just announced, that Siamalu apparently suffered some type of pectoral injury, which might be something that keeps him out for a long time. If you don't have a player like that on your offensive line, an offensive line that's already rebuilding and needing to establish itself, to come together, very new group, a lot of new components. If you lose a stalwart like that, a high-end veteran across the league and really kind of the statesman of the Steelers' offensive line now, you're really not in a good spot. When you already have a new offensive coordinator coming in, a new quarterback, it seems like the quarterback, whoever it is, it's not going to be good enough to take control over the situation and to win on his own. When I say on his own, I mean he can rise above his opponent. He makes all of his teammates better. I don't know if we're going to see that type of play out of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or whoever the third quarterback might be at whatever point during the season. I'm not sure that they have an offensive group that's strong enough to make the quarterback better. So really, you're kind of looking at a similar situation as it's been. And I can't say that this was really a competition, or if it was, the first thing that comes to my head is the Bill Parcells adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I don't know what either of them can really do against NFL competition, not on a snap-to-snap basis, but a drive-to-drive basis, a game-to-game basis. I've seen Justin Fields run. I'm aware that he's good in space. He has a lot of highlight plays for a quarterback whose offenses average about 18 points a game. He's not leading to high-level production. He doesn't throw the ball particularly well, and he loses, pretty much two out of three games. So I don't know if that's all that great of an option anyway. If the only lens we're going to view this in is three preseason games, I don't know if a real decision can be made anyway. So in my mind, Wilson was their guy from the start, and this shouldn't be a surprise. But, yeah, I don't think Wilson beat Fields. I don't think there really was a competition. And even if there was, they kind of fought to a draw. I mean, neither of them really did much. So for what we can see, at least, I mean, it ended the way that I figured that it would. Back this spring when they signed Wilson and a couple days later had acquired Field.
In fact, I would equate it to Mayweather-Pacquiao, which I thought was boxing's first ever no-hitter. So I think it's pretty close. They've gone through training camp and three preseason games. Is this season now actually more of a mystery now than it was 6 weeks ago?
Absolutely. I don't know. Put it into this context, that the waiver decisions were announced today across the league, and not surprisingly, the Steelers didn't add anybody. I don't think any of their players got added by anybody. Any players that they had cut, I don't think any of them got added by anybody either. It's kind of like they're comfortable over in this group doing what they want to do. This is how they feel they should do things, but I don't know where we sit right now. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not sure if there's reason for optimism or pessimism. I don't think there's enough really on the table for us to say. What we know factually is they've got a lot of new pieces. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. And I think we're also getting to the point with the Steelers that we're used to not knowing what's going to happen anymore. You know, I've talked about this a few times, but this is a team that somehow was the most overrated and underrated team in the NFL last year. You know, it's a team that cycled through three quarterbacks, maybe the worst offense the NFL has seen in the last 10, 15 years, and still managed to have a three-game losing streak against Indianapolis, New England and Arizona, and win 10 games on the season. How does that happen? You know, it really doesn't make any sense. So to act as if we know exactly who they're going to be because we don't know anything seems kind of ridiculous to me. I don't think we know enough to say one way or another, but we have seen them probably perform better with maybe a little bit less than what they have right now. I don't know if it's all that different for what we can see on paper leading into this. Now, we probably said the same thing, Steve, last year around this time. Leading into week one, we probably thought the same thing. You know, San Francisco, that's a tough opponent, but, you know, maybe they'll go out and compete, and they got their doors blown off. You know, it wasn't even close. I wouldn't be surprised to see a start to this season that looks a lot like that. I really wouldn't. At the same time, I could see them, you know, cracking off a quintessential Mike Tomlin five-game winning streak in the middle of the year when all seems to be lost. That's kind of the way that Tomlin sets things up, and I don't think that they've added enough for this season to suggest that they're above kind of that hyperbolic, you know, ebb and flow that they get into, you know, win four, lose four. I think I said that last year, too. This is a team that's going to win three games in a row at some point, and they're going to lose three games in a row at some point. They're going to be streaky because they're not consistent. They're still kind of trying to figure out who they are. Well, it's even more unstable now. You don't have a true high target receiver that we know of. You know, I understand that the talent that George Pickens has, and there are definitely some things I like that I saw of him this preseason. But again, I don't want the highlights. I want to look at it drive to drive, game to game. Are you contributing? Are you doing the tough work? Are you doing those kinds of things that the big money receivers are being asked to do to get 8 targets a game? I don't know if he's capable of doing that yet. And frankly, neither does anybody else, because he hasn't done that. So let's wait and see. But that's probably the most solid point in your offense. Jaylen Warren, he's going to be, if he doesn't miss time right away, he's going to miss a lot of practice leading into week one. You have a new offensive line. Like I said, Isaac Siamalu might miss time. That injury was just announced in the duration of this call. That's a problem. You know, Mason McCormick is a rookie. He's been playing on the right side primarily. Do they move him to left guard? You're going to shake up an offensive line that's already been shaken up, and now you've got probably at least 3 new starters across the board, and 2 of them are rookies, 3 of them are rookies. So you're going to struggle offensively. What does Arthur Smith have to do to get all of that lined up again? That's a challenge. That's really hard to do. So acting as if we can predict it one way or another, I think, is a fool's errand at this point. I don't know who the Steelers are going to be. From a personnel perspective, I don't necessarily know they've gotten any better. Maybe they can win with the guys they have with better direction and better quarterback play. I think that argument can be made. But, again, the continuity. They had to mix a lot of things up, but maybe – you know, maybe they got to spend their first 4 or 5 games getting all of that down in real time before they can start to take off. That might dig them a bit of a hole, and they're playing catch up for the rest of the year with the bulk of their division schedule coming when the weather gets cold. You know, that might be a challenge. There's a lot up in the air. I'm not sure exactly where to put them.
But is there anybody else in the division that actually is better than last year that we can tell?
So, I mean, you look at Cincinnati, everyone's going to point to that. Well, a healthy Joe Burrow, I'll see the healthy Joe Burrow when I see it. I know that type of injury, and it's not something that you're going to report on heavily because, you know, they're not going to make the doctors available to reporters to speak, and they're certainly not going to say there's any problem, but that's not an injury you just come back from. It's pretty significant for what it is. Right when I heard it, I was like, that could be problematic. When you take a big arm with big accuracy and phenomenal vision, everything that makes Joe Burrow one of the best in the game, but then take off 10% velocity, 10% control of his passing. I'm not saying he's just a dude at that point, but he's not the same kind of assassin that he has been. That 10% really is the difference, you know, between the top level and maybe 7 or 8 in the league, you know, whatever that theoretical rankings list would look like. That could be a problem. And from there, yeah, I mean, you have Ja'Marr Chase, who hasn't practiced at all. I would imagine he's going to have a contract here pretty quick, but we haven't seen it yet. We don't know what else they've really done offensively to improve a great deal. And I think they've been getting away with quite a bit defensively. It's going to take another phenomenal job on that side of the ball, I think, to have them competitive. Baltimore lost a lot, and people don't seem to mind that all that much because Baltimore, you know, goes into these cycles. They lose players to recoup the picks and make a killing out of all these mid-round guys that nobody else wanted, and they turn into all pros. They're in the down part of that cycle right now. You know, they just lost a lot of guys. They've got to get right with the new contract for their quarterback. They'll be a competitive team because they always are. John Harbaugh's a great coach. He's got guys, you know, playing to a high level, probably above and beyond what they are. But game to game, how scary are they? I don't know if they're one of the best of the AFC or anything like that. And Cleveland, you know, you've heard me for 6-7 years now talk about how great I think Cleveland's going to be in August. Well, I'm not doing it this year. You know, they're going to have to prove it. We'll see. I'm a huge believer in Jim Schwartz as a defensive coach.
Me too.
I know that they brought a lot defensively last year. We'll see what they do offensively, though. That's usually the problem over in Cleveland. We'll see how competitive they can be.
Okay, in this league, with the changeover and so forth, and, of course, the way the rules are structured, people make assumptions about who the dominant teams are, but in reality, is there a dominant team in your mind?
I know this. There is not a dominant team in late August, and we will find out in week one who was ready for the season and who wasn't. because come week two, you're really going to see who everybody is. Short of like the 2007 Patriots, who might have been the most impressive team in NFL mm-hmm. history for their first four or five games, they smoked everybody. Teams now in this era of the CBA, they tend to really kind of peak and valley early. They're phenomenal for one game and they fall apart for another. I believe that the 70-point Dolphins game against Denver, I think that was early on in the season. Some teams really seem ready to get going right away, and some teams don't. You get a lot of blowouts and a lot of, you know, kind of strange outcomes of games early. But the biggest difference between a team during the season that you'll see is week one to week two. Mm-hmm. So going into week three, I think we're going to have a much better sense of who's here to play this year, who can do this. And then, of course, there's going to be injuries that wreck all of that anyway. But right now, no, I don't think so. I think the league is pretty balanced. I thought, mm-hmm. You know, not to take anything away from the champs, but for everything you know about Cleveland, Patrick Mahomes, who I feel should have been the MVP last season, he got less help on offense than he's ever had in his career. Mm-hmm. And yep. still navigated a high-level team. But a huge chunk of that was the defensive effort that Kansas City put forward, especially in the playoffs. Are they going to be able to do that again? Are they going to be able to stand on their heads and win three consecutive big games the way that Kansas City had to defensively last year? That's tough to ask anybody to do. But I think Miami is a team that could mm-hmm. make that leap this year. They got yep. a lot of good things going for them. A playoff team last year, but frankly, they were playing with plumbers and firemen on defense in that playoff game. You can't have six starters out on defense and expect to do a whole lot come playoff time. But they, like anybody, they stay healthy. I think they've got a pretty good shot at anything. And I think with that, the NFC is wide open. Everybody loves Green Bay right now. We'll see how that all progresses. I think you put Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk back on San Francisco, I see them being able to beat anybody the way they have in the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, I think in that sense, it's going to be a fun season, one that it's going to be hard to establish the narrative very early, just because I don't think anybody is really going to be who they are until December. There's a lot of football to be played.
Experience makes a big difference. So for you, in your experience, how do you cover this league or the team now? Maybe in a bit different way than you did before, because experience told you what was important and what wasn't.
I think it experience should tell me anti-experience has value now. What I mean by that is the league has done things this way for however long. We're used to these patterns. I don't think there's any aspect of the game or the media that's covering it that's the same as it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a simple statement, but the NFL, probably more than any other sport, does more to change everything that it's doing. And with that, the challenge of covering it becomes different. The pliability of different media in which, you know, they're covering the game, that changes how you're looking at things. I just had a talk with my people yesterday that roster cutdown day is a tentpole event, is what we call it. Mm-hmm. Right. This is a big marker on the schedule as far as our work goes. There's a lot to do here. And, you know, some people said, well, what's the big deal? They announce the cuts and they move on. No. There are mm-hmm. several things that are going to happen. And you saw it. There's going to be a couple trades before cuts. Guys are going to get cut, and that's when the gamesmanship begins, because they can cut to 52 and wait to pick up a guy if this guy's going to come available. Who's cutting early? Who's cutting late? You get into waiver claims, which I don't know if you happen to see that, but Carolina claimed like half the players that got cut in the league. That's an interesting situation to go over that might not have been the same previously. Yeah. And then you have practice squad. You know, practice squad used to be kind of for the uber dorks, you know, the ones who really get into the game. They love to see who's going to make the practice squad or who else you could get that mm-hmm. got cut somewhere else. The practice squad now is much more weaponized to a team for a couple of reasons. One, they can call, you can have multiple veterans on it. You didn't used to be able to do that. Now you can use them as a way to not circumvent the cap, but you don't have to pay them very much while they're mm-hmm. practicing for you, and they can be called up leading into a game. Now that guarantees them a minimum salary for 3 weeks, but they can save that money. And here's the big thing. This rule didn't used to be as big a deal as it is now. Players who are on a team's active roster for week one, they mm-hmm. have their salary for the year guaranteed. Practice squad's not the active roster. So teams that are signing people today are signing to their practice squad. So with that, you have a lot of machinations, a lot of different things that you can do. What player is going to get a better chance to get promoted to the active roster come week two? That's probably what they're making their decision on. All of these things play into how you cover it, I guess, is really what I'm saying here. It's not the way that it used to be. So knowing each year things are going to become more important, having to stay ahead of both from a league perspective as well as media perspective, staying ahead of where the news is going and how to tell those stories is critically important. I really feel like that's changed year to year at a much more rapid pace in the last 5 years than it did the previous 15, which is about where I am now with my level of experience. Things were pretty static. Now they change pretty consistently, and you have to be on top of the transactional stuff and how it plays across a more global league. And it's because of the rule changes they put into place, mostly in the post-COVID environment.
Right. My good friend, thank you so much. Appreciate it. I'm glad you came on a little bit later with us. And as always, you're the best.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Indeed. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We continue with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun. Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors in the North Forest Street Auto Plaza is where you want to be in August for massive savings on new Fords. Pick from 39 of the fuel-efficient 2024 Ford Escapes with discounts up to $4,600. And Sunbury Motors has them priced at the lowest price ever offered, just $27,995. Choose from 19 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. And SMC has them slashed up to $6,100. And they start from just $27,995. From 26 of the number one selling SUV of all time, the 2024 Ford Explorer, with savings up to $6,300, plus get 0% financing and priced from only $41,565. SMC has 37 2024 Ford F-150s with discounts up to $13,000, and they start from just $47,859. Sunbury Motors is a fourth generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Trying to pick out Brewers Outlet for the Matt Catrillo segments. I said, have you listened to the segments? This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Pepper Supermarket. Now, before we get to Matt, though, I have to tell one quick story about Navy Marine Corps Stadium where Doug Birdsong is going. Way back in the day, the late Beano Cook. If you go down to the Navy Marine Corps Stadium, they have some of the famous naval battles listed and so forth. And Beano's standing there one day and he looks, look at that. Iwo Jima, Okinawa, Guadalcanal. What a schedule. And all on the road. Beano Cook. Ah. We're fortunate to have scheduled on the show Matt Controllo. Sir, welcome.
That is quite the schedule there for Navy.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Hey, all on the road. No home games there.
All right. No.
So now we get to your complaints in the world, of which there are numerous ones. So,
if you're a Florida State fan or anybody associated with Florida State football, you might think you might have that type of mentality. But guess what? After that dismal performance against Georgia Tech in Ireland on the road, ironically enough, you can no longer talk and you want to be one of the big boys of college football. There is none. You had to win that game. The Florida State was, I think, 19-0 in season openers against unranked opponents, and they dropped that game the way they did, trailed in some of that game, and then dropped it the way they did at the end. Florida State can no longer talk. They belong right where they are in the ACC, and they're not going anywhere anyway because of all the legalities that are involved, hundreds and hundreds of legalities. And guess what? They wouldn't survive the SEC. And here's another thing. I could have told you that from the very beginning. Florida State thinks they're this powerhouse because they're still living in the Jameis Winston days when they were good and won a national championship a few years ago. Those days are long over. Jameis Winston even knows that and thinks he's still the same thing while he's still struggling to stay in the NFL. So, no, Florida State, everybody needs to stop talking and just focus on where you are right now, which is that you're not getting out of the ACC because you decided to sign that contract to begin with. And if you saw anything the way they performed against Georgia Tech, albeit it's a good team, maybe a little bit better team than what most of us expected. But the bottom line is Florida State lost a game that it should have after all this talk of the offseason and how big they are and they belong in the SEC. They don't belong in the lowly ACC. I think you do because you just lost to Georgia Tech. So I don't need to hear any more complaining from Florida State people at all.
Let's give Georgia Tech its just due because they ran the football, which meant they were able to do the job on the line of scrimmage and in the trenches. In the process, they shortened the game. It was only seven possessions apiece. And when you're doing that and you're eating up clock and you're also lessening possessions to a team that has explosiveness, the execution and the game plan are pretty good.
Yep, exactly right. And that's a good win for Georgia Tech, absolutely.
As for Florida State, it's a double whammy because in today's 12-team playoff, it's a blow in the at-large pool, but it's also a blow of trying to get to the ACC championship game, which is the other route in, and I think that's important too. We'll see how they bounce back because remember in 2014, Ohio State lost its second game of the year at Virginia Tech and they bounced back.
That's very true. Exactly.
What are you doing? What are you doing at home right now? Are you setting up the potty for one of the kids? What are you doing?
No, we just got back from the park.
Oh, I mean, because those kids aren't potty trained. I mean, come on.
Luke is. The other two are not yet.
A miracle on that one. all right. Okay. So what's next?
Well, next, and of course talked about this last week, was just wanting to see if the Eagles starters would actually play in the preseason finale. Of course they didn't, and then Nick Sirianni is asked about it at the end of the game, and he says, I felt like we were ready. That sounds familiar. I think you said that at the end of last preseason before the Eagles came out flat as can be and totally out of sorts and barely beat the New England Patriots. And then, of course, we all know what happened the rest of last season. So I don't want to hear that excuse again that they didn't play in the preseason. They're a little bit rusty because you had all preseason to play them and you didn't. So to me, this is already strike one for me against Nick Sirianni. He's already been expired in my book to begin with. To me, he shouldn't be back as a head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles in the first place. But since he was given this extra opportunity, knowing everything that he has to play for this season to keep his job alive, I think everybody, and including himself, knows that he didn't get off to such a good start and didn't prove to me or anybody else that he learned from his mistakes last year like he claimed he said he would. He flat out said during the offseason that he was going to reevaluate how they handled the preseason. And this was with less joint practices than last year. At least last year, they had two joint practices with Cleveland. This year, you have one joint practice with New England, and that supposedly is enough. Now, I get it. Weather was a factor against Baltimore. They didn't play their starters either. I know they typically don't anyway, but you had a hurricane kind of come through, so I'll give them a slight pass on that, though the field looked pretty good to me. Then in New England, they had that big thunderstorm that came through, I guess, before the game. But guess what? Their starters still played, and the Eagles starters didn't. And he said he was asked the same thing. Well, I felt like we got enough work with the joint practice. Again, for the millionth time, joint practices, and again, you only had one, not two, like last time, is not the same as the game speed. And thirdly, as I mentioned before last week, you have two new coordinators, and you have a whole new offense. Guys need time to get in the flow of things, get down timing, especially if you're finally bringing back motion like you should have last year. So now you're going to go into week one, which is going to be beyond normal of a week because you got to go to Brazil, still stupid by the NFL. You got to go on a Friday night, and you got to fly down there. So you're not even going to be in your regular routine yet for your first regular season game, and it's against a conference opponent and a good conference opponent, and this will be the first time that the starters are going to be all on the field together, especially in the offensive front. That sounds like a great plan, Nick, doesn't it?
During games, do you yell like this at home?
It depends on the situation. You know, I was tempted while I was watching the Eagles' dreadful performance, the second, third, and fourth strings dreadful performance against the Vikings on Saturday, but I decided to restrain myself because I've decided that I've gotten a little bit better than that. But it was very tempting, too, because of how dreadful they were to watch on Saturday. But regular season, it's usually all different, but all at the same time, too, I still have to watch myself because I got to make sure that, you know, the children don't hear what they shouldn't be hearing. It's very difficult sometimes, Steve.
I mean, even little John Paul appears to be, for the most part, happy-go-lucky, and that's the key to being clueless. even he seems to get a little upset when you're yelling. Why is Daddy so angry?
Sometimes.
Why is Daddy so angry? Mommy's so sweet. Hey, Todd, you still there?
I'm wondering how we can get the kids anonymous Cowboys jerseys.
To me, that's the ultimate Christmas gift.
All Roger Staubach jerseys.
Firewood, then.
Oh, they're wonderful clothing. Keep you warm. Be great.
That's okay.
Get a Dak Prescott jersey for little Mark. We'll go out, get a CD Lamb.
They're just going to be disappointed, if not worse, anyway. So what's the difference?
CD Lamb jersey for little Luke, right? And a Micah Parsons jersey for John Paul.
That's all right. We'll save it in case Micah Parsons does eventually come to the Eagles, because we all know he wants to be with the Eagles.
That's not what he told me. All right, so I'm just wondering. I mean, I haven't heard this much yelling since I heard the president give a speech. What the heck? okay. What's next? Yeah, I know you're leading up
finally,
to the big Yankee fall down. I mean, Aaron Judge is going to hit 72 home runs. You're all going to rejoice, and then the postseason will go 0-for-8.
I think that's at least this time, that's where I kind of think where the season's headed, is Aaron Judge legitimately has a chance to get Mark McGwire's 73 home run record, and then the Yankees are going to be, it's going to be all for naught anyway because they'll be one and done in the playoffs. I really do see that coming, honestly, but that's not what's on the agenda for today, of course. I go back to one Deion Sanders, and albeit for me to agree with anything Paul Feinbaum says, but he was right on the money last week, and so was the writer that is now banned from asking questions for Colorado football. Now, I will say this. Some of the things he said are things I probably wouldn't say, and I understand why. I guess I understand a little bit why the Colorado football program and Deion were a little bit unhappy with that. But guess what? If you're supposed to be Coach Prime and you're supposed to be Deion Sanders and nothing gets by you, well, I think the writer was incorrect. This is the first time you're acting a little scared. What Paul Feinbaum said was absolutely correct, is he is a bully and a hypocrite. And he's been that way to everybody around the Colorado football program since he got involved, not just the media. It's been with the players, past and present, and it's been with everybody there associated with that Colorado football program, because he thinks he's everything because he turned around Jackson State the way he did, and then he brings his son over, and then he thinks he's going to turn everything around. It's not so easy only when you get to the actual FBS level, Coach Prime, as you're starting to find out, because not only is the play tougher, but guess what? The media is tougher because the expectations get tougher. And if you can't handle it, then get out. Paul Feinbaum is actually correct. He is a bully and a hypocrite to everybody in that Colorado football program, but especially the media. And what he did 2 weeks ago, as I've talked about before, was absolutely atrocious and was inappropriate and it was unprofessional. And he should be facing way more hefty of punishments from Colorado University than he's had. He really haven't faced anything yet. So once again, Deion Sanders embarrasses himself and college football for a second week in a row.
Yeah, he's look, just answer the questions. You can answer them any way you want. And that's what he needs to do. Just answer the questions. You don't have to sit there and say, you're banned, you're this, I'm not answering your question. Just answer the questions. And you know, and that's a part that I think a lot of people don't understand when they're being interviewed. You can answer it any way you want. And then go from there. You don't even have to talk about what you were asked.
Exactly.
I'm glad you agree. Rather calm response from you, I thought. When he's ranting, Todd, what do you usually do?
The other podcasts?
Yeah, see,
I'm listening at 105. I'm listening.
Oh yeah, no, I'm listening.
I might not be able to answer right away, but I'm listening.
I'm listening to him as well, but I ran off my football charts. What? I'm just trying to like be efficient with my time. I know you're on a roll. Is there?
Hey, I'm always trying to be efficient with my time too.
Okay. So
but
now,
as I've said before, Steve Jones, when I see stupid, I can't ignore it, and pretty much all three topics that I brought up today have to do with that.
Are you done with all three topics so you can go back to potty training those kids?
I think we're done for now, yes.
With the potty training or the rants?
I wish the potty training, but for right now, it'll be the rants.
Well, at least the kids weren't on the show this week.
Yeah, the wife wasn't too happy about that either, so I decided just to pull myself away a little further.
Why wasn't she happy? They sounded so... Adorable.
Because let's say she doesn't want them to necessarily follow in Daddy's footsteps of ranting about stuff.
Well, okay.
She might have thought of that before she reproduced with you, buddy.
Ooh.
Hey, that's what I said.
Yeah. Not even I said that.
One of them's going to be like you.
Oh, did I ever tell you the Matt Millen story? Matt Millen brings his, this is obviously a long time ago, because Matt's kids are all grown and everything. And he goes over to Joe's house. And one of them is running around picking this up, picking that up, putting this, that, that, that. And Matt's like, give me it back. Don't do that. Jump, you know, get off the couch, you know. And Joe starts laughing. And Millen looks at him and says, what's so funny? He says, you got one like you.
See, there it is.
Which one of those three is more like you? The smiley one, the little guy, is like your wife.
Oh, definitely Marky Mark.
He's more like you.
Yes, because he's already been copying me, yelling and going crazy in front of the TV, and everywhere you go, he's got some sort of ball in his hand.
And he's consumed with hate?
Maybe not the hate, but let's just say he's got a lot of energy.
Uh-oh, sounds like he's trending in the wrong direction. So all we need to do is set up a GoFundMe page to get the kid therapy. All right.
But I think he might be the better athlete than me, though, because we've been practicing hitting off the tee ball here in the backyard, and he's got quite the swing. I've seen some nice line drives. So we're signing him up for T-ball next year, and we're going to start working toward the scholarships right away. Because this kid's got some natural talent. I can see it already.
Todd, you and I are going to go to a game, and we're going to watch the parent freak out.
What are you doing?
Can't wait.
I'm going to sit there with a video camera.
What's wrong with you?
They're just warming up. Well, you have a great week.
I will, and I hope to see you for the home opener, because I will be coming out for it. We are going to be doing a story about Julian Fleming, Columbia product for my show, so I'll definitely hope to see you in a couple weeks here.
Sounds good. All right, take good care of that family of yours.
All right, I'll try.
All right. Oh, boy. He has one that takes after him. You wonder which one is going to be in the corner at school every week. He just starts screaming about Jalen Hurts. I'm like, okay, just put him in the corner. All right. Nick Sirianni, he even pronounces his name right. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.